Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I have full lines here who people want to talk about the police, whether that means defund the police, reform the police, support the police. Whatever your argument is for the chaos that is happening in a lot of our cities right now, the looting, the protesting, the rioting, so many different words you can use for all of these things. I will take your calls. I'm going to get to them in 1 second, but I do have to share a little bit of lighter news with you. Dr. Fauci, the TV doctor of America, he was on with Chris Hayes last night, MSNBC's Chris Hayes, who really, really, really has a... I hope that when he had him on, he pulled him aside and got a thorough examination of his Trump derangement syndrome. Because this guy, at one point last week, he actually tweeted out, and I'm paraphrasing, something along the lines of, do we ever find out if the Hunter Biden laptop was real? And I'm just sitting there going, oh, God, serenity now. These people are out of their minds. But Dr. Fauci appeared on his program, and Eddie Scarry put it really well. He said, MSNBC's Chris Hayes has an exclusive interview with St. Fauci tonight. Wow, what a get. Definitely won't want to miss Fauci say, hold on a little longer. For the 83rd time since September, and explain away all of his failed expert guidance. That is truly what it is at this point. This guy is going on TV every chance he gets to either contradict something, say he doesn't know what's going to happen, say that we may get back to normal life in add 2 years to whatever date we're at. It's so predictable. And the idea that he's still getting so much praise and love from these nuts. And also just a side note, Chicago teachers unions prepare for possible walkout Wednesday. We got to check on this if it actually happened over reopening plans. Now, Jared, how do you walk out if the school's not open? Do you walk out from your own house? Do you walk out from the Zoom?
I'm assuming they walk back from Cabo or wherever they're taking their COVID vacation.
Do you turn the Zoom on just to leave the Zoom room?
Put the blank screen up with your initial.
High school staff would refuse to work in person. You are so brave. You are the heroes of our society without a doubt. And actually, let's play. Now, before we will get back to these calls, I do want to play a little bit of Fauci. He has the nerve now. This guy who has put the pause, not just him, but the FDA, the CDC, they've all put the pause on the Johnson & Johnson. He's gone out and said, even if everybody gets vaccinated, you know, the world's vaccinated, the planet, the universe, things might not return to normal for quite some time. He's literally de-incentivized anyone from getting this vaccine. And yet he is concerned, him and John Berman, CNN's John Berman, are concerned with Tucker Carlson, of course. Let's do cut five, please.
I want to read you. I don't want to play it because I'm not sure that helps the cause here of saving lives. Something that TV personality Tucker Carlson said on TV about vaccines in general. He said,
"Help! I just caught that. Helps the cause." And then he catches himself of saving lives. What about? Oh, is this the Charlie Chester cause that we saw from Project Veritas? Is that the cause? We know what the cause is, Berman. All right. You don't have to try to walk that back. I'm not sure that helps the cause of saving lives. What a phony. They can't even hide it anymore. They are activists. All right. Play the rest
here of saving lives. Something that TV personality Tucker Carlson said on TV about vaccines in general. He said, if the vaccine, if vaccines are effective, there's no reason for people who have received the vaccine to wear masks or avoid physical contact. So maybe it doesn't work. And they're simply not telling you that. Let me repeat that again. So maybe it doesn't work.
No, you know what?
And they're simply...
I don't need to hear it again. And I don't even care what Fauci said to that. It's all so stupid. Do you understand, Berman, what his point is? Do you understand what Tucker's pointing out? That if we're vaccinated, we should be able to get back to normal life? That maybe Dr. Fauci should start showing people the light at the end of the tunnel instead of talking ad nauseum about this hell that we've been living in for the past year? Does that go completely over his head? Oh, who am I kidding? He's co-workers with Brian Stelter. They're obsessed with Tucker Carlson. You know, I thought Donald Trump lived rent-free in their heads, but Tucker Carlson, he is really buying up a lot of property at CNN because these people are obsessed. All right, now we're going to get back here to the conversation about gun violence, about police, about the situation in Minneapolis. And I'm just opening it up to all different opinions here. Gene, you've been waiting for a long time. Go ahead, Gene.
Hi, Grace. I don't want to say she's not guilty of anything, but, and yes, she does have 26 years, and I don't know if you heard, but she's a lefty. So that means she carries her sidearm at her left side and the taser in her right. And I don't know what happened the other day, but apparently when she kept saying taser, 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 she thought because she was using her left hand, her right hand, that was the taser.
Yeah, and Gene, I don't doubt that. I'm not at all trying to imply that there was some sort of, cynical thought process she had, or that I don't believe she's racist. I don't believe she meant to do this. I don't think anyone would be this insane to want this kind of spiraling life after an incident like this. I mean, if you make a mistake like this, your life in turn is ruined, and that is part of it. The press is relentless. She will be, her life is forever changed now as well. So I'm not trying to say that there was some malicious intent behind this mistake, but at the same time, that doesn't excuse a mistake that ends somebody else's life.
Doesn't. But didn't he take off after that? And she goes, oh my God, I shot him. I didn't mean to shoot him. She realized it right away, and he drove on and crashed himself. If he had stayed there, he may have been saved. And I'm not saying she gets a free ride for this, but just don't be so harsh. If that were one of your family members that made a mistake, would you want people across the country judging them?
No, I wouldn't, Gene, and I'm not here to be harsh. I'm just here trying to be honest with you. I don't really agree with this mindset that we have to give her, this soft treatment. And yet, a lot of times I hear the reverse argument about all these things that this young guy, Dante Wright, could have done right. And no one seems to have that issue. No one seems, when this happens, and I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but everyone seems okay to say, well, he could have done this, he could have done that, he could have stayed there, he could have not driven away. That can be used on the other side, too. She could have figured out which side her taser was on. She could have not panicked. She could have followed protocol. So all I'm saying is there's a lot of blame to be thrown around here. I don't think either side of the political divide should feel like there's not room for improvement in a situation like this. There could be better reactions from civilians, but there could be better training for police. Let's go to Brian. You're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Brian.
Hi, Grace. I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm not defending what she did, but I was a federal correctional officer for 6 years. I was in the military for 13. I've been out for about 15 years now. The whole problem is training.
Yeah.
These little town police officers, they probably, even though she was on the force 26 years, she's never ever had to draw her gun. And they don't put them, the training, it gets weaker every year for the military and for the police.
Exactly,
and
Brian.
They're not put under any pressure situations when they're in training. They're just shooting at paper targets all day long. And when you have 6 seconds to decide what you're going to do, usually when you draw a weapon, it's confusion. They don't know how to react. They're not trained properly. I don't blame her 100%, blame them for the training that she gets. They should fund the police more and put them under more pressure situations when they're in training.
Yeah, Brian, I think those are all great points. My dad used to have this expression, the Russian army train hard, fight easy. If you train really hard for something when a panic situation comes up, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but you're going to be prepared. You're going to know how to handle it. And I just want to say, to harken back to what Gene said, I understand that this woman, her life is ruined now, and I do think that she deserves due process, and I don't think there was anything about this where she intended to kill the guy. If you watch the video, she clearly did not intend to kill him. She actually panics at the fact that she used her gun. But we're very critical on the right. We never shy away from saying how we truly feel. So I don't understand why we can't be critical when something goes wrong as far as the police are concerned. I think it's fair game to talk about where there could be improvement. I think Brian and I think the other officers who called in are absolutely right. It does come down to training. A lot of times these cops are put under horrible situations. It's a lot of pressure. They need proper funding. They need to be trained. They need how to know how to avoid a situation like this, to defuse a situation. We'll be back on the other side. We'll take more of your calls, 844-500-4242. We will move around a little bit. I do want to talk about some other stuff. I also have Sarah Westwood from Washington Examiner coming up at 1:30. It's true what they say at Perfect Smiles, change your smile, change your life. I saw the change with Howie and with the mailroom manager. Many people walk around all day long not smiling because they aren't happy with their teeth. That's not the way you want to live. It's not fun. You want to make sure that you are smiling proudly and confidently. And the best way to do that is to go to Bruce Houghton, Dr. Bruce Houghton. It's amazing what he can do. If you watch the video testimonials at PerfectSmiles.com, you don't have to take my word for it. They're really incredible. Perfect Smiles is conveniently located in Nashua, New Hampshire. Parking is free and the staff is warm and welcoming. If you've been wanting to upgrade your smile for years, contact them today and look at their video testimonials. Go to PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile, change your life. We'll be back on the other side with all of your calls and Grace's goodies. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Without further ado, it is time for Grace's Goodies.
So you're looking for a deal and you want to make it real.
A money-saving deal.
It's Grace's Goodies.
Goody, goody.
The Follinsby Inn is a bed and breakfast in Sunapee, New Hampshire. You guys already know that I love it there. I mean, you can go on GraceCurlyShow.com. I've been there a few times now. Last time we had a listener getaway. It was so fun. I went with my fiance and my sister, and we met some of the greatest people who I'm still in contact with today. It's a historic lakeside bed and breakfast situated on the banks of beautiful Kezar Lake. And now Dennis, the innkeeper, is with us today. Dennis, thanks for joining the show.
Yes, hello, Grace. Great show as usual.
Thank you. Now, before Dennis, I go into some of the details about the Follinsby, I want to just let people know, because I don't want people getting antsy here. I know they like to grab these quick. While supplies last, that is the key, you can purchase a $200 gift certificate to the Follinsby Inn for just $100. So that is 50% off. Make sure you act now. Go to GraceCurlyShow.com, click on store to get your Follinsby Inn gift certificate today. Okay, so now that I've gotten that out of the way, let's talk about this inn. First of all, Dennis, tell people about some of the food that you make at the inn, because that is by far one of my favorite parts.
Well, the guests do love our breakfast. I think when you were here, I made poached eggs with a hollandaise on a corned beef hash. Mm-hmm. And it's a great corned beef hash. I corn my own beef. Take a brisket and soak it in the corning liquids for 8 days and then slow cook it and then make the corned beef hash the next day. So that's one of our favorites. I'm always looking for new things. Lately, I've been cooking a creme brulee French toast, which is an old New Orleans dish, and the guests have really loved the creme brulee French toast.
The breakfast is absolutely amazing. What I did, so the first time I went to the Follinsby, I just went with my fiance, the two of us, and we met some Howie Carr listeners, but we did not plan anything. And what we did was we had breakfast. We were so full from breakfast that got us almost all the way to dinner. And then we got a bottle of wine. We sat by the fire. We had cheese and crackers, played some board games. But every single season at the Follinsby, Dennis, there's something new to do. So if people want to go to the Follinsby for the spring and summer, what are some of the highlights?
Well, absolutely. Now the ice is out of the lake, so it's still a little chilly for swimming, but people are out on boats, so you can go out in canoes and kayaks, enjoy the water, the hiking. This has been probably the nicest spring since I've been here, the 9 years I've been here. It's just been a gorgeous spring, so take advantage of that, although we are having some weather move in the next couple of days. I'll say that. Supposedly mm-hmm. we're going to get 12 inches of snow.
Oh, wow.
But that won't last long. It's kind of a shocker because it's been beautiful. We've been in short pants and short sleeve shirts. It's just been gorgeous weather lately.
And it's a gorgeous place to go. It's a gorgeous place, even if you just love to walk around. There's a really cute brewery that's close by that my fiance and I went to because he loves good beer. And it's just a wonderful spot if you want to relax and kind of feel restored afterwards. It's the perfect place. Dennis, my sister actually said to me today, when are we going back to the Follinsby? Because she had so much fun. And you have two dogs who are there, Angel and Grace. They are wonderful. And let's talk a little bit about the rooms. Tell people what they can expect if they book a room at the Follinsby.
Every room is unique. I have 17 guest rooms. Mostly with a queen bed. I have some with king beds, some with multiple beds in case you're with friends. Every room has its own private bathroom. And for the summer, although it's rarely needed, all rooms are air conditioned.
Yes, and they're super comfy. You'll sleep really great in this house. It's a wonderful building. And the outside, I just walked around so much when I was there. It's such a great spot. I can't emphasize enough how delicious the breakfasts are. I'm going to tell people one more time, if you want to check out the Follinsby Inn, you just go to gracecurlyshow.com, click on the store to get your Follinsby Inn gift certificate. It's $200 in value, but it's just $100 to purchase it. And I just want to remind people, if you're feeling, I know sometimes when you're booking a spot, you can be a little nervous about it. If you want to see for yourself, you can go to gracecurlyshow.com. I've put up several blogs over the last couple months at the Follinsby Inn, including Dennis, the breakfast, the rooms, the outside, the lake. So you can check it all out and get a real good sense of what you're getting before you buy it. That's gracecurlyshow.com. Click on the store to get your Follinsby Inn gift certificate today. Just a warning, Howie Carr will probably pump this up in his show. And I'm hoping that even before that, my listeners get a shot at it, because once he mentions it, it's definitely flying off the shelves. So if you're tuning into The Grace Curley Show, it's like a little sneak peek. Go to the store now and get your Follinsby Inn gift certificate. Dennis, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you, Grace.
I hope to see you again soon. I love the Follinsby. I have so much fun when we're there. The hash is really good. And Will's kind of a hash snob. Like, he's had good hash and bad hash. And he said Follinsby is the best. Let's take a really quick call here. Billy, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Billy.
Thanks for taking my call, Grace.
Of course.
Grace, what should be the people that are law enforcement or in law enforcement, they, especially the police officers, like that female police officer. I really do believe she made a mistake, and I do believe that she did it as a human error, okay? I really am.
Sorry, Billy, we're running out of time there. I agree with you. I don't think there's any question she made a mistake. I think she would tell you that as well. Guys, when we get back, Sarah Westwood from the DC Examiner, we're talking all about VP Harris and the border crisis. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us, and special shout out to all of our new affiliates who are coming along for the ride. I hope you've been enjoying it. I was just thinking about this right now because there's sometimes topics that I steer clear from. And I'm still pretty new at this because I don't feel like I have enough expertise or experience, or they make me feel a little bit nervous. And those always end up being the most productive segments. And it's not because of me. It's because we have great callers and great listeners who weigh in. So I thank all of you. And I think you are all going to love my next guest. It's her first time on the show. She is a fabulous investigative reporter, politics and investigations for Washington Examiner. Her name is Sarah Westwood. You can find her on Twitter at Sarah, S-A-R-H. No, that's not right. S-A-R-A-H-C. Westwood. And she's got all sorts of great stories out there. Sarah, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah, I want to start with Kamala Harris, because I know you've written a lot about where she is on the border crisis, and that is to say she is MIA. Now, there's reports that she may actually be picking up some of these responsibilities. Do you think that's because of backlash, or do you think that this kind of long waiting game was always part of the plan?
Well, I think the announcement today of her trip soon to Northern Triangle, she's let slip that she will soon, on an unspecified time, be visiting Mexico and Guatemala. That seems to be a reaction to the criticism that she's been MIA on the crisis. But she still hasn't previewed any plans to visit the border, and the White House today was defending that decision because they really tried to remove her from the actual migrant crisis and the overcrowded detention facilities and everything that we're seeing on the border. They've really tried to insist that she's just focusing on the diplomatic outreach to those Northern Triangle countries, and that she's just tasked with dealing with the root causes of migration. But critics would argue that the migrant surge on the border, that situation, is inextricably linked with the problems in the Northern Triangle countries, and that it doesn't really make sense to unwind the two just to protect her politically.
Yeah, and Sarah, I know this is kind of a losing game, but I always think to myself, reverse this. If this were during the Trump administration and he wasn't going to the border, or VP Pence was not going to the border, there would be a huge outcry. But just this week, I saw stories about how wonderful it is that Kamala Harris was at yarn stores and that she was at a bakery in Chicago. The priorities here seem to be very mixed up.
Right. That has sort of been a constant criticism of the way the Biden administration has handled it. They are seeing surges of border crossings that have eclipsed what was going on when this was appropriately called a crisis during the Trump administration. But there's been a lot of resistance in the media and among Democrats to label what's going on as a crisis. And the White House really tried to get away with blaming the problems on the Trump administration. That doesn't hold up under scrutiny because obviously the Biden administration undid a lot of what Trump had done right when they came into office. And that's exactly when this historic surge of migration began. So it's not a difficult line to follow of causation there, and yet the Biden administration has really not made this a priority at all and have not really owned the crisis. And you see in the way that they are trying to insulate Kamala Harris from having any responsibility for something they're in no rush to fix, it tells you that they recognize this is politically difficult.
Yes, that it's putting them in a little bit of a pretzel. Sarah, just a heads up, you are cutting in and out just a little bit. I do want to play for you, and you just mentioned this, that aides and a lot of the Biden administration have been stressing that Harris's role will be limited to diplomatic outreach for the Northern Triangle countries. In fact, one of the senior aides of Biden, of the Biden administration, I believe her name is Simone Sanders, said Harris is not doing the border or something along those lines. With that being said, Sarah, I would love to get your input on this. I believe we have Kamala Harris speaking about, you have to hear this, Sarah, let us know what you think. This is Kamala Harris speaking about why migrants feel they have to come to America when really they don't want to.
They don't want to leave the place where their grandparents lived. They don't want to leave the place where they are familiar with the culture and the language. you know, to use a phrase from an old television show, Cheers, you know, where everybody knows your name. Most people don't want to leave home.
What do you think, Sarah? She's referencing Cheers in this conversation about the Northern Triangle.
She is, and I think, you know, the Biden administration has tried to downplay the extent to which their comments about immigration and opening the border and welcoming people have been a big driver of the surge that we're seeing. The Biden campaign ran on a really liberal immigration policy that was, you know, not in name, but in function, an open borders policy. And they immediately came into office with rhetoric about stopping construction of the border wall, ending the Remain in Mexico policy, ending the cooperative asylum agreements that the Trump administration had set up with Central American countries, tearing up everything that the Trump administration had done. And that sent a signal to would-be migrants that it's a great time to cross the border right now because the Biden administration has made it so much easier and they're going to welcome us. And so, you know, the rhetoric that we've heard from the Biden administration is starting to change. Now they're starting to try to discourage people from coming. But that was the attitude that they brought to the table that caused this crisis.
Yeah, and when I hear her talk about Cheers and that theme song, You Want to Go Where Everybody Knows Your Name, it's kind of, for me, it really speaks to how they've been handling almost every problem, which is they're just appealing to people's feelings and emotions and everything's so feel good and funny and ha-ha, but they don't really have a plan. And Sarah, I'm speaking with Sarah Westwood from the DC Examiner. I want to move on here for a minute and ask you about this situation with Georgia voting laws, because you have a great piece in the Washington Examiner where you break down how Georgia's new voting laws compare to other states. And I think this is really helpful. You put this out last Thursday. It's good for people to see, because when a lot of times my listeners say, what do I say to people when they argue with this point? Like, you want to be prepared. You want to have your facts straight. And this is a great way to compare what's happening in Georgia and all of this fake outrage versus other states and their voting laws. But my question for you is, when you see a piece like this, so there's a piece in the New York Times, it says hundreds of companies unite to oppose voting limits, but others abstain. What do you think of this narrative that now all of these companies are going to basically bully politicians into avoiding these restrictive voting laws, when based off your writing, it doesn't seem like they're any more restrictive than a lot of other states?
Right. I think what happened in Georgia was you saw liberal activists notch a really high-profile victory when they pressured Major League Baseball to move the All-Star game. And seeing how effective that was, now they are actively trying to bully other corporations into taking those kinds of stands. But a lot of that is based off of just true misinformation. I mean, the Georgia law, on balance, expands access to voting in Georgia in virtually every way. I mean, there are more days that people could vote early and in person. Ballot drop boxes are now authorized for the first time under the law. It is not a voter ID provision that is attached to mail-in voting. You can use the last four digits of your social security number if you are a person who doesn't happen to have an ID. And so the characterization of this law as being somehow historically restrictive just isn't based in fact. And in fact, it is more permissive in many ways than the voting laws in other states like New York or like Delaware, which does not have any in-person early voting days available to it, for example. And you are going to start seeing Democratic groups file lawsuits and put pressure on other state legislatures. That's happening in Texas. That's happening in Arizona, where they are considering similar minor administrative reforms. It's going to be an interesting battle to see how states are able to stand up to this pressure to try to return to some of the pre-COVID normals in terms of the way they administered elections.
And Sarah, this is moving out a little bit from the actual voting laws, but something I notice is, so let's say the Major League Baseball All-Star Game gets pulled out of Atlanta, that community, which is primarily mostly Black people, suffers. They don't get the resources, that the revenue that that would bring in. And now we're seeing this even more because Will Smith just pulled the production of one of his movies out of Atlanta, and it seems to be all to placate these liberal, mostly white elite politicians or blue check marks, and the people that it's actually hurting are the same people that these, you know, heroes claim to care so much about.
That's right. I mean, this reflects a total lack of regard for how even Georgia citizens are feeling, because first of all, the law has polled well among members of the public. The majority of people support the kinds of reforms that Georgians pursued. And the people getting hurt by these boycotts, getting hurt in a real, like, material, economic way, are the same ones that the liberal activists who are pushing these boycotts are claiming they're trying to help. And, you know, the tactic, though, has been very effective in drawing attention to the Georgia law. And so you are starting to see those same tactics materialize in other states where the law hasn't passed yet, so they might ratchet up in places like Texas the pressure to try to stop the legislation. Because in Georgia, it's too late. It's the law. So a lot of these boycotts, to some, can feel performative because it's not going to change at this point. It's not a draft. It's a law. And in other states, that's just not the case because it's still working its way through the legislature.
Thank you so much, Sarah C. Westwood. That's where you can find her on Twitter. She is the politics and investigations reporter for the Washington Examiner. You guys should read all of her pieces. They're really great, really detailed. We thank you so much for joining the show, Sarah. We hope to have you on again very soon.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I know what you guys are thinking, because there's the old expression, there's no such thing as a free lunch. You've heard this, Jared.
I have.
Well, it's not true.
Okay. I have experienced that myself.
I am here as the Daniel Dale of the Grace Curley Show to tell you that that is false. Here's the real story. With my friends at Aviva Trattoria, we'll be giving away a free lunch every other Friday here at the studio. I will be giving away one this Friday. I'm so excited. I'm excited to give one away, but on the Fridays where I'm picking a winner, that means Aviva's not going to be in studio. And that does make me sad because every time they come in, wow, this spread is incredible. And what we've been doing lately is we pick the winner and then we have the winner peruse the menu. And so they get to pick some of their choices. And our VIPs have great taste. I'm talking calamari, pizza, chicken clubs, chicken wings, short ribs. Everything is so delicious. Gnocchi, the food is incredible. And you guys know I love the house-made chips. Those are my personal favorite. All you have to do to enter is go to gracecurlyshow.com and sign up. I'll be selecting winners this Friday. And when they come in with the food, you guys, it steals the show. Last time I actually had to tell the women who were here, you guys know you can come back in and watch the show. But they were just digging the food. That was like the highlight. From seafood to their homemade pasta, Aviva has you covered. They also have four convenient locations in Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham, and Westford. Takeout is available too. Again, to enter to win the Aviva VIP lunch, go to gracecurlyshow.com. It drops down when you go on the website and you just put in your email. It's gracecurlyshow.com. We'll be back on the other side. I'll open up the phone lines and 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Bam, 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 bam.
And they're always glad you came.
Always glad you came.
You want to be where you can see. Our troubles are all the same.
Ba-da-ba.
You want to be where everybody knows your name.
Fun fact. My parents, their first date was at the Cheers in Boston. That is not fake news. That is very real news. And I always reference that song because I do believe that. that people like to go where people know their name. My mom, they go to this restaurant all the time. She thrives off the fact that the bartender and a few of the waitresses know her name. It really pumps her up. I can tell. So on one sense, I agree with Kamala. But I don't think that I would take that argument to the Northern Triangle countries as a way to try to fix the border crisis. But that's just me. Nick from Weymouth, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, how you doing, Grace? Thanks for taking the call.
Of course.
I'd like to know, with regard to the Minnesota shooting there, how the hell is it that this guy, the dead guy, with all due respect, skates $100,000 bail, gets the bail revoked, why? And what was the bail for? A triple felony. Assault, assault with a deadly weapon, illegal possession of a firearm, which apparently the press was trying to confuse us to make it think, oh no, he had an earlier warrant for a gross misdemeanor, gross indeed, triple felony. What I want to know how did he skate that? How did he stay out of jail after revoking bail?
Well, that, Nick, hold on one sec. First of all, his name is Dante Wright. I just, you know, we should acknowledge what his name is. And also, we will find all this out. I mean, I have no doubt. I'm not sitting here saying I don't want due process for this woman, Kim Potter, or that I don't want to know more of the information. I am just sitting here saying the knee-jerk reaction to blame either the person who gets pulled over or the cop 100% seems ridiculous to me. There's got to be a little bit of room for conversation and reform, and there's got to be some sort of positive thing we can pull out of these tragedies besides just each side, whether it's the defund the police movement or the police getting more and more, or I should say less and less ready to compromise or ready to change. There has to be something that people can do. You can't have a woman who doesn't know the difference between a taser and a gun shooting people and then on camera saying like, oh my God, I meant to use my taser. That's not a good cop. And I think most good cops don't want bad cops on the force. I appreciate the call, Nick, from Weymouth. I really do. Today's poll question is brought to you by Balance 7 Liquid Concentrate. Start sleeping better tonight and get the acid out of your body with Balance 7. Save $10 off your first order today and receive a free bottle of their Smooth Skin Spray with code word GRACEFREE at Balance7.com. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which Democrat luminary do you trust the least? Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, or Dr. Fauci?
I'm going to say Dr. Fauci.
Dr. Fauci is polling at just 12%. Barack Obama is in the lead at 25%. Kamala Harris in second place at 21%. Nancy polling at 20%. 14% for Joe Biden. Chuck Schumer at 7%.
Joe Cunningham has a piece out in Red State. It's called Why Saying Just Don't Resist the Police Doesn't Help. He says one of the concepts people who defend police in questionable shootings jump to is the idea that these situations are incredibly tense for the officer. And 1 second of hesitation could be the difference between life and death for the officer. And no doubt this is very true, especially at a time when law enforcement is receiving so much criticism from politicians, activists, and even the media. However, police are trained. They are supposed to know how to react in a calm and collected manner in these tense situations. But just as tense as police officers' jobs are, especially now, you also have black men who see the news coverage, who get defensive when in these tense situations, but most importantly, are not trained to remain calm and collected. They are at times not totally equipped to deal with what can quickly become a hostile situation. I don't disagree with that. I think that's something that most people should be able to acknowledge. And I'm not saying all cops are bad. Of course not. There's bad apples in every organization, but we have to be able to admit that. That's the first thing. We'll be back on the other side with more. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.